Welcome this morning. It's good to have everybody here. And again, I'm thankful for the opportunity that Ray gives me when I can bring the message. As I've said, it's something I want to continue to do and be able to do after retirement and those things. So it's fun. You'll see kind of some of the seasoned pastors, like, you know, I have up here my notes, but a lot of times you'll see they just come up and they can deliver the message and not have those. I'm not quite there yet, but it's always a joy to stand where I'm standing in an honor. So this morning the message is on time. It is funny, the more, maybe now that I'll start bringing the messages here or either here or in Nevada, that you have to come up with a topic, you know, a sermon topic. And the Lord will lay them on your heart, you know. I had a few ideas, a few thoughts and things like that, but this is the one me and the Lord decided on for today. So it's about time. And this first statement's kind of bold, but from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed at night, we're pretty much ruled by time. You may not think so, or may not really agree with that word ruled, but time is everything. It is everything. It's time to get up, right? Time to go to work. You have to be at work at a certain time. You have to get up at a certain time. There's lunchtime. There's dinner time. It's time to go. One you don't hear often is relax. We have plenty of time. You don't hear that one too often. The one you usually hear is hurry up or we'll be late, right? What about wasting time? Do we all waste time? Our wives always tell us, stop wasting time. If we got some project or something we're doing and it just doesn't seem right. What about time flies when you're having fun, right? Just seems to go by. You're on vacation. It's Monday morning. You're on vacation for a week. Next thing you know, it's Friday. Where did the time go? You're having fun. You're having a good time. It just flew by. The opposite is when time drags, right? Time can drag by. You ever sat in a dentist chair? Kind of drags by, doesn't it? You're wondering. Anytime I get in those situations where I'm having a procedure or something, I always ask, how long is this going to take? I need a time set in my mind. I want to know roughly how long it is. If it's going to take 15 minutes and he's been in there for 25, I start to worry. I want to know how much time, but it can drag by. The worst way it can drag by for me is a ball game. Watch a professional ball game on TV from the first pitch to the last pitch, I dare you. That'll be 4 hours of your life you'll never get back. Ball games are so slow. Here's that doubleheader. You want a day to last? Watch a doubleheader. That day will seem to go on forever. But the time is still the same. It's still 4 hours. It's still 15 minutes. It's just a mindset. Are you having fun? Or are you in an uncomfortable situation? And that's what determines how the time goes by. What about the nick of time? I don't know where that one came from, but you got here just in the nick of time. It's always been a good one. The older we get, who can finish that one? The faster it goes, right? I started noticing that in my 40-ishes, you know? It just seems, seriously, it just seems like I was taking down the Christmas lights. We're in October. It's going to be Halloween, Thanksgiving. Then I'll be out on that ladder again, hanging lights for Christmas. It just, the years just go by. The older we get, seems like the quicker. One of my favorites is, I don't fly much, but you always hear people talking about it when a flight is late and they're behind schedule, so they take off and they get up in the air and the captain says, we'll be making up time. How are you making up time? They're just speeding the plane up. All they're doing is trying to catch up from being behind. It's not like they're going to get a ticket. They're not going to get pulled over. So they can do what they want. And they make up time. So time is something. We are truly structured by time in both our Christian lives and in our human lives. But this is at Trinity Baptist Church in Linwood, California, yearbook of 1959. It's always special to me. I keep it in my Bible. That's the year I was born. It's something my mom had and passed down to me. But when you look at it, their Sunday school is at 9:45. Ours is at 9:15. Morning worship at 10:50. We're 10:30. Wednesday prayer meeting, 7:30. We meet at 7. 63 years, and we're within 15 or 20 minutes of what this church did. We're structured by time. I mean, this church has been here as long as this one. But morning service, evening service, prayer meeting, it's all relatively the same. We keep it the same. It's what we're used to. The pastor gets a half hour to speak, right? We give him a half hour. Perfect. I got the clock right there, so I'll be on it. When my father spoke, when we moved to Hawthorne was a naval base, and it was an ammunition depot, one of the world's largest. Obviously, they had room out there. And so they had a siren in town that went off every day at noon, because they figured if the United States was attacked, that might be one place, say, they would focus on because of all the ammo. And that siren still goes off today. Me, Pam, and Sarah were back there a couple months ago, and we happened to be there at lunch, and that siren went off. Every day at noon, it goes off. So my dad would be speaking, and that siren would go off. So everybody knew it was 12. Time to wrap it up. You would actually see the people kind of, some would even be brave enough to look at their watch, you know, check it out, or nudge their wife, should be coming, you know. And but he'd tell me just, I know, I heard the siren, relax, I got a few more things to say. And he'd finish his sermon. Sometimes he would beat the siren, not very often, but sometimes he would. We're structured to give the pastor about a half hour to bring his sermon and to make his point. Even in our lives, just let's just say our regular lives, everyday lives, we get up at 6, lunch at noon, dinner at 6, bed at 9. George, this is probably something you follow, but for the rest of you, there's retirement time. That's what me and George don't know yet, but we'll get there. It's a little different, but you're still structured by time. Maybe you don't have to get up at 6, you don't have to eat at noon, but you're in that area. Maybe you don't go to bed at 9, but you follow us. Even in retirement, you have a routine. And when you are on vacation, what about when you are on vacation? You're out there. Me and Pam like to go to Tahoe, Lake Tahoe, and we'll get a spot there, and then we'll sit out. As long as I have a little ice chest and some munchies, I can sit on the beach and I can just stare at the water all day. I can just sit there. But somewhere along the line, she'll say, what time is it? I don't know, it's about 4, I guess. You know, she goes, don't you think we should go get ready for dinner? Why? We're on vacation. Time should matter, but we still, even on vacation, we'll be subject to time, and we'll watch what we do when even on vacation. And you can't stop it. You can't stop time. A football team can take a timeout, right? You know, discuss a play. Quarterback sees something he doesn't like, timeout. But that doesn't stop time. That just stops kind of what they're doing right there so they can discuss and see what's going on. Kids get a timeout, right? They've been misbehaving, they're acting up. They get a timeout. Go sit down, take 5 minutes. It's the same thing. Think about what you did. Think about what you did. So they get a timeout. In my day, you didn't get a timeout. You got a spanking. A little bit different than a timeout. That's how it is. But now they get a timeout. And then after 5 minutes or so, they can come back out. Did time stop? No. Time didn't stop, just in their little area, that little section, they had to take time. Now, time did stop one time in Joshua, where the Israelites were at war, and Joshua said, "Sun and moon, be still." And for about a day, the sun and moon were still, so the Israelites could continue the war and finish the battle. But that was God stopping time. That is the only way time can stop. We can't do it. It is going to continue on and it is going to go on. So do you think you could go one time, one day, without thinking about time? For me, it'd probably have to be on a Saturday or on a vacation day, but where you get up when you want to get up. Eat when you're hungry, not when it's 12 o'clock. Go for a run or bike ride or read a book when you want to. If you're hungry, have dinner. If you're not, don't. Go to bed when you're tired, not at 9 o'clock. I think you could go a day, one day, without thinking about time. It'd be fun to try. I would like to try that. I have not done that, but it would be fun to try that for one day. But you know who isn't ruled by time? Kids. Right? And those of you out there who've had more than one kid, well, that's on you. Pam and I had one child. It was so easy. Let me tell you, it was so easy. But kids aren't structured by time. You got to wake them up every morning for school. Hurry up or you'll be late. You'll miss the bus. Will you guys, man, I hear it like every day at my nephew's house. They have four kids. It's just amazing what they go through to get them out the door. And they're always late. They are always late. Kids do not have a concept of time. And that's okay. I don't really think they should. But wouldn't it be neat to be like a child one day? Just go through it like that. So kids aren't ruled by time. They just go with the flow. So those are some of my thoughts on time. That's what makes it my message. But now we're going to see what the Bible says about time. And that's what will make it God's message. So Jim, if you would hit the first one. I think this is Ecclesiastes, which Sherry read. So we're not going to re-go over that, but that is the main focus in the Bible on time. That almost covers about every situation I can think of. There's a time for everything. But in 1 Peter 4:16, Jim, if we have that one, we will be looking at a lot of scripture. I hope that doesn't throw the flow of the lesson. But in 1 Peter 4:16, it says, "However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God. But there will be a time of judgment. Be a time of judgment for us, and there'll be a time for those who it says who do not obey the gospel of God. Where each person spends eternity is dictated on how they spent their time on earth. So it will be a judgment, and there will be time for that. In 2 Peter 3:8, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." It's always been a fun verse. I think we all know that verse. It's a difficult one to understand, to look at. But basically, God's time schedule is not our time schedule. His is different. His is always right. It's always perfect. But it is different than ours. But his is the correct time schedule. In Colossians 4, 5, let's look at Colossians 4, 5. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. To me, I see that as a verse on witnessing, right? Be wise on how you act outsiders and make the most out of every opportunity. One of the best things I ever heard said was at Brother Ed's celebration of life, when his granddaughter got up and spoke and said, if you ever talk to my grandfather, you either got Jesus or you got a job. Right? Ed made the most out of every opportunity to share Christ. He truly did. And that's what we need to do, because eternity is a long time. It is a long time. Make the most out of every opportunity to share Christ. Ed was amazing. It was a pleasure to get to know him for the short time that I had. See, the word just keeps coming up. It just keeps coming up. In Revelations 8:1, it says, when they opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour. Right? Remember that song, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be? We'll sing and shout the victory. Heaven is not going to be a quiet place, right? How can it be? We're going to be praising God. We're going to sing and shout. But it says here, it was silent in heaven for about a half an hour. The old saying, I imagine you could have heard a pin drop when it gets quiet. When you're at home at night, everything's all shut down. You go to bed, the TV's off, and it is just quiet. Such a peaceful time. You have to enjoy it, because it doesn't last too long sometimes. The next day starts and you hit the road running. But it was quiet in heaven for a half hour. In Matthew 6, 26 and 27, it says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? It's a great verse, but it's difficult. That is a hard verse. Since the pandemic, they do a lot of studies on anxiety, people suffering from anxiety and things. And I had it, I fought it, still have it. So you would try to rely on this verse maybe. What good does it do to worry? You can't add an hour to your life, but it's hard to do. It is hard not to worry. But by worrying, you can take an hour away from your life. It's not healthy. It's not healthy to worry all the time. We have to remember God will take care of us, and try not to do the worry. And don't worry about tomorrow. What does it say? Tomorrow brings enough trouble of its own. Live in the moment, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. In Acts 1, 6 and 7, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the date that the Father has set by his own authority. Right? They wanted to know when Christ was going to become king. At this time, is this when you're going to do it? He said, it's not for you to know. Not for you to know the time. And Mark follows that up in 13. Did I miss Mark 13? I'll get it. Mark 13, 32 and 33, it says, no one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert, you do not know when that time will come. See, in Acts, they asked Jesus, they're saying, is this the time you're going to become the king? Here in Mark, they're still talking to him about it. And he says, no one knows about that day, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son. In our morning services with Ray, we're in the book of John. We just started the book of John. And in John 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Jesus was with God in the beginning. And here Jesus is saying, no one knows the time. The angels, not even me. God will make that decision. God will turn to Jesus Christ and say, it is time. And that's when Christ will return. You ever tell somebody a secret? And what do? You say, don't tell anybody, right? What happens? Yeah, they tell somebody, you know? They tell their wife, or they tell their friend. I've seen it happen at work where somebody's going to get laid off at the end of the day, but you can't tell anybody. By 9 o'clock in the morning, the guy getting laid off knows it's going to happen because it just spread like wildfire. It's a secret. God can keep a secret, right? Boy, that's a big secret for a long time to be hanging on to. You won't even tell Jesus when it's time. That's amazing. But when he does, Christ will return, and it will be in God's time. In Luke 16, 27 to 31, it says, "And I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them so they will not come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This man ran out of time, and he did not have the right relationship with God. And he was sent to a place of torment. And it was so bad, he wanted to send somebody to go tell his 5 brothers. So they didn't go there. And they said, no, they have their prophets. They have Moses. They have the same opportunity you had. We still have that opportunity today. We have churches. There's TV evangelism. There's radio. A lot of ways we can find out about God and make our decision. But the place was so bad that he wanted to warn his family. So when this man ran out of time, he was not in the right relationship with God. And so he will spend eternity separated from God in a bad place. So what happens when you run out of time depends on how you spent your time on earth, right? How did you spend your time here? There was a pastor in Battle Mountain, Nevada. It was a Saturday afternoon. My father told me this story. It's been 20-some-odd years ago, but it stayed with me. And it was a Saturday afternoon. He was in the garage doing some things. His wife was in the garage over doing some things. And it being Nevada, there was a loaded rifle in the garage. Something happened. The rifle fell down, hit the ground, fired, and killed that man. The blink of an eye, he ran out of time. So how he spent his life on earth decides how he's going to spend his time in eternity. Fortunately, this man was a pastor. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And his life was trying to tell others about Jesus. So yes, he lost his life on earth in just a crazy, unusual way. But in eternity, he'll be with God because of the way he spent his time here. And it happens so quick. It can happen so quick. I was debating whether or not to use this next example. When I do a sermon, I practice. You know, one thing I enjoy, I come down here and Sherry, I go off into the room where you have your Toastmasters, and I use that little pulpit, and I practice. I go over it. I enjoy it. And couple of times I did it seemed okay, a couple of times I didn't, it didn't seem okay, but yeah. So it's funny how it works, but you know, you talk about time and you're going to a barbecue or a birthday party or something like that, and it happens. There's an accident on the highway and somebody dies. I hear it all the time. I listen to the radio in the morning as I commute home and back and things. It just happens all the time. You get to where you're going, you know, it causes a traffic jam and it backs things up and you're late. You get to where you're going and say, sorry, I'm late, but there was an accident. You're kind of all rattled because you're late. But what really happened was somebody was killed. What was the condition of their soul? That's what we should wonder about. Shouldn't matter that we're a couple hours late. Not that important in the big scheme of things. The important thing was somebody passed away on their way to work or on the way home from work. Maybe they were going to a party and they lost their life. So where they will spend eternity is how they spent their time on earth. That's what we need to be concerned about. In John 11:21, this is Martha speaking. She said, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Right? That was Lazarus. It says, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then when he got there, she goes, he's already dead. Jesus was late. Lazarus already died. But we know what happened. Jesus went to the tomb, had the stone removed, and called out to Lazarus. And Lazarus came up, came forward. Jesus wasn't late. He wasn't 2 days late. Jesus was right on time. He's always on time. We get confused with our time schedule and his time schedule. And that's easy. Boy, that's easy to do. Because like we talked on in Jonah this morning, we want it to be our way. And when it's convenient, we'll go with God. But his time schedule is not the same as ours. Jesus was not late getting to Lazarus. He was right on time. In fact, the whole timeline is based on Jesus. BC, right? In AD, 960 years before Christ. 1,959 years after his death. You want to have a little fun? Ask an atheist when they were born. I was born in 1960. How'd you come up with that number? Say, what number is that? Well, that was 1,960 years after the death of Jesus. Oh, then they start going from there. We just use it because we don't want to complicate things. The whole timeline is based on Jesus Christ. Before he even came, that's how the years were run, how timetables were set up. And after his death, we're in the year 2022, 2,022 years after the death of Jesus. That's how we came to that number, because of Jesus Christ. Remember Pastor Thomas, right? Here again, pleasure to know him, but it was for such a short time, because I came in later. But I remember his last sermon that he shared with us. And it was, don't lose your focus. I've used this illustration a few times because that sermon was so powerful. Remember, he walked down. I think he looked each of us in the eye and he was just, don't lose your focus. Don't lose your focus on Jesus Christ. Because over time, that can happen. We've seen it time and time again. Some people will have something just crazy, nutty, come up in their life, and so they come to church. they feel better and they get things situated, and then they go away. It's hard to stay focused on Jesus Christ for the long run, but that's what we need to do, because that is the most important thing we can do. In 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how we need to spend our time. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. That's the best way we can spend our time on earth. And that will dictate how we spend our time in eternity. Pastor Thomas just drove that point home. Just stay focused. Stay focused. Because over time, time is precious. I said earlier, you know, stop wasting time. Time is precious. No man is given tomorrow. So we should be focused on how we spend our time. Make sure we're right before God before we run out of time. Eternity is a long time. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to really grasp how that is. It's forever. From the moment we were conceived till forever, we're in this. Do we want to be in it with God or separated from God? So use your time on earth wisely. Don't give up an opportunity to share Christ with somebody, so they can have the same joy that we're going to have in eternity. 2 weeks ago, I think it was, two weeks ago, I was planning on going home. I like to go home once a month for like 4 or 5 days, but Pam got COVID, then Sarah got COVID. I figured that's probably not the best place to be, so I stayed here. I can't really say I was upset about it, but I look forward to going home. I enjoy it so much. But they had COVID, so I couldn't go. So I didn't think, well, it's going to be a while before I get up there now. And I think it was Thursday, the pastor from Dayton called, said he's going to take a sabbatical, and he's going to be out for about 2 months. And he asked if I could preach next week. So I looked at the calendar, and it was clear. If I'd gone home the week or 2 weeks before, I wouldn't have been able to go now on the 9th, because that would have been too much time away from work. Whose time schedule are we on? I get to preach next Sunday in Nevada because of God's time schedule, not mine. That's the neatest thing. God always speaks to you, gives you things when you bring the message. We were talking in Sunday school this morning about Lena. I think Bev said the doctors gave her 24 to 48 hours to live. What did God give her?
4 years.
4 years. God's time schedule is different than ours. Pastor Kafunga's kids. We all saw them today. What a blessing, huh? Is that truly amazing? But remember, it's been a couple years. We were trying to figure out how to carpool up to the airport to pick them all up. Remember, Jim and Anita, you had the van, so you were one car. Others had the car. What happened? God shut it down. I don't know why, but it wasn't the time. Who's out front right now? Pastor Kafunga's kids. Because it's time. For whatever reason, it wasn't time 2 years ago. But it was time this week when they landed in San Francisco. God's time is different than our time. And how you spend your time here on earth will dictate how you spend your time in eternity. And sharing Christ with others. That's my message this morning. I got it, 31 minutes. 31 minutes. Thank you for coming this morning, for listening. I hope the message touched your heart. It's just a blessing for me to always be able to bring it. I look forward to next Sunday as well, because God allowed that to happen, because I didn't go home 2 weeks ago. So I look forward to that as well. Make the most out of your time. Thank you. Mike?